Hey, it's a new week. Welcome to episode 315 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. It's so good to see you today. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament. Track two is reading through the New Testament. And the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks. And each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today we're on track two, the New Testament. We're going to finish 1 Timothy with the reading of chapters 5 and 6, and our Bible translation this week is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Apostle Paul is continuing today his mentoring of the young Timothy on how to pastor a church. Let's begin. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and with all propriety, the younger women as sisters. Support widows who are genuinely widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness toward their own family first, and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The real widow, left all alone, has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this also, so they won't be blamed. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is, in his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow should be placed on the official support list unless she is at least 60 years old, has been the wife of one husband, and is well known for good works, that is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when they are drawn away from Christ by desire, they want to marry, and will therefore receive condemnation because they have renounced their original pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, and give the adversary no opportunity to accuse us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows in her family, she should help them, and the church should not be burdened, so that it can help those who are genuinely widows. The elders who are good leaders should be considered worthy of an ample honorarium, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages." Don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. Publicly rebuke those who sin, so that the rest will also be afraid. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing out of favoritism. Don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder, and don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't continue drinking only water, but use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Some people's sins are obvious, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others surface later. Likewise, good works are obvious, and those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All who are under the yoke as slaves must regard their own masters to be worthy of all respect, so that God's name and His teaching will not be blasphemed. Those who have believing masters should not be disrespectful to them because they are brothers, but should serve them better, since those who benefit from their service are believers and dearly loved. Teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches other doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing, but has a sick interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But you, men of God, run from these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the faith. Take hold of eternal life that you were called to and have made a good confession about in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep the command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in His own time. He is the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the only one who has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. No one has seen or can see Him. To Him be honor and eternal might. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good reserve for the age to come, so that they may take hold of life that is real. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding irreverent, empty speech and contradictions from the knowledge that falsely bears that name. By professing it, some people have deviated from the faith. Grace be with all of you. May God bless the reading of His Word. Paul's advice to Timothy on how to deal with different age groups is very good. I've known of young pastors who went counter to this advice, very much to the detriment of their ministry. When a young so-called leader does not properly honor the more senior members, feelings are hurt, and it's very hard for the young pastor to regain the respect the seniors would like to give him had he honored their many years of service to the Lord. In regards to elders and deacons in the church, Paul tells Timothy to do something that is seldom done today. Paul tells him to reprimand the leaders in his church who sin and do it publicly so that other leaders will be afraid to follow in the sin. Can you imagine that being done today? It would be good for the church to do this because Christians have the reputation of being hypocrites. If the world were to see us cleaning up our own ranks, I believe we would have more credibility when we make moral statements about cultural issues. And then Paul tells Timothy to be cautious in ordaining someone. He says that some sins are obvious, but others take time to be found out. Hence the "don't rush to ordain" instruction. Conversely, some good and godly men are known by the nature of their service, but others serve God in such a way that they go unnoticed. Paul wants Timothy to be on the lookout for these folks too. My late father-in-law was one of these types of servants. Unassuming and quiet, he did many things in the church that were behind the scenes. He was never one to draw attention to himself or what he was doing, but because of his integrity and his servant's heart, he became known as one of the finest men in the church, and he served many terms as an elder. He's been with the Lord now for many years and is still remembered and loved by those who knew him, including yours truly. Paul's advice in the 6th chapter has to do with servants doing their jobs well for the name of Christ, encouraging Timothy to remain true to the teaching he got from Paul, the damage that comes to those who lust for wealth, and a reminder to fight the good fight. It's easy, when in the trenches, to get distracted by the attacks of the enemy. But when we keep the goal in mind, when we don't stray from the basics, we will make it through and accomplish the task to which we are called. This is true for pastors, and it is true for the rest of us as well. If you'd like to comment or leave a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 315.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWebb_#. LifeSpring Media. I'd love to hear from you. Also, be sure to subscribe to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible in your favorite podcast app. That way, every show will make it to you automatically. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back with Job. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.